when you are praying and you're doing spiritual battle, and think about that. And then the devil comes to you, grabs you by the hand. You say, "Oh God, where are you? God, God, the devil is holding me. God." But wasn't it the devil carrying Jesus? You know, how many people trust the devil to carry you? He might drop you halfway, right? Of course, if the devil play tricks like that, simple tricks like taking Jesus on a high mountain, drop him from a height of about 20,000 feet where your Boeing 747 is traveling, the angels would carry him anyway, right? So those are like no-go areas, right? Too simple for God to overcome. But the fact is that the devil was taking Jesus. Do you see those things? He was holding Jesus, taking him from one place to the other. Was Jesus frightened? No. Because he knew this was part of him destroying the devil. He must overcome the devil himself. So the next time the devil shows up in your room when you're praying, sometimes he's polite and he knocks a door. Right? You open and there will Mr. Devil. You don't have to be frightened. I mean, Jesus was not frightened when the devil carried him from the mountain to the pinnacle of the temple, back to the wilderness. I mean, he was being carried by the devil. He's not frightened at all. Because the devil has no power over you. And every temptation and test that you go through, the Holy Spirit is with you all the time. But if you can overcome the devil, every other demon becomes afraid of you. So he literally came against Satan himself, not frightened of him at all. There's a story about Martin Luther in the Bible. In church history. And when he started preaching justification by faith, the devil himself came to disturb him. Because in what an important message he had for the church, that freed the church for the next generation. So the devil came at night to his bed, shook his bed. So at night his bed was shaking. Martin Luther got up, looked, and there was a devil standing at the foot of his bed, shaking his bed. Looks at the devil and said, "Oh, it's just you. Turn over and slept." Doesn't bother him. "Oh, it's you. Oh, and just slept." Have you noticed that although the Bible says the devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy, that as far as Christians are concerned, he doesn't immediately kill you? Because if he kills you, you go to heaven. So he doesn't. He tries to make you frightened and ineffective and a bad witness. As a Christian, you should not be afraid of the devil. You should never be afraid of the devil. That's one thing you need to get out of your mind and your heart. Whether the devil comes to you like a nice person or with two horns and hoof feet or pointed tail, or comes to you looking like some monster from some horrible looking monster, doesn't matter what he looks like. The first thing is to remember, no matter how near he comes to you, you must not be afraid of him. Because God has given you the authority. The truth will set you free. If you know that the devil has no legal authority, you will not be frightened. No matter how a person threatens you, should not be frightened at all. Because the most you can lose, if God allows it, if you lose your life, you're in heaven straight away. But God forbid, if you have a life to live for Him, you will never die. In other words, you cannot die if it's not time for you to die. Remember Jesus, they tried to kill him, but it was not time for him to die. When it's not time for him to die, they could not kill him. It's impossible for you to die if God has a plan for your life to live. So we need to come against the principalities and the powers. We need to come against the rulers of the darkness of this age. We need to come against Satan himself in order to be free. The only factor that we wrestle with is fear versus faith. Satan controls people through deception, through historical precedents, and the underlying power he has in Hebrews 2 verse 15 is the power to make people afraid. Through the fear of death, it says, he put all under bondage. It is fear. You have nothing to fear, but fear coming to you that you need to overcome in God. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is not a scripture given just to apostles, to prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers alone. These are scriptures given to every single Christian. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Greek word for flee has the root word of the meaning phobos, which is the Greek word for fear. So it is your job as a Christian to make the devil afraid of you. The devil is very sneaky. He knows how much authority we have, but he covers his own fear of you and tries to make you afraid of him. But when you know the truth will set you free. And you are no longer afraid of him, but you begin to submit to God, take authority, then you will notice the fear that he has of you. The Bible also tells us that the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Every time you call upon a name, demons tremble. In James chapter 2, demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Another person with this experience, his name, let me try to recall his name. He wrote the book, Demons and Eyewitness Account. And his name is Howard Pickman. He was living a normal, quote-unquote, Christian life. He died, went to heaven, but before he could go in, Jesus met him, showed him his life, almost like General William Booth, showed him his life, and showed him that all that he has done in his life was worthless. And Jesus says, just give him one more chance. And he got back into his body. So he had out-of-body experience. And then when he got up again, he realized, you know, he began to relive his entire life. But one of the things that God allowed was to show him the demon world and how it operates. So he wrote about four books from his experience. His main book was Demons and Eyewitness Account by Howard Pittman. Not sure whether he's going to be with the Lord. But when God brought him into the spiritual realm to see demons, he took him to the heavenly places and he saw these warring demons marching like an army. Satan's warring demons. And they seem to have no fear of him, even though the angel and Christ was there. And he says, in his experience, here's how, you know, Satan tried to intimidate and make you afraid. And these warring demons, the huge, tall fellas, and they march, and as they march, and they saw him, Howard Pittman, in the spirit, they march, and one of them marched and came near him, and put his eyeball to eyeball like that. Trying to intimidate him. But because he had the presence of the Lord, he felt no fear. So if the devil tries to make you afraid, remember he's sometimes like, you know, those animals that birds that make themselves look bigger than they are. When you frighten the turkey goes, right? It's all feathers, smoke, but no substance. So he tries to do everything to frighten you. Take one step forward. If you have a spiritual vision, take one step forward. Put your eyeball to eyeball. Because deep inside them, now they are not afraid of you, but they are afraid of Jesus in you. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, it is important for us to know our authority in him. The truth will set you free. They lie all the time. They you know, that's why when we cast out demons, we don't have conversations with demons. You know, some people, when they cast out demons, they converse with the demons, telling all kinds of stories. And there are a few Christian books going around, you know, with this demon exorcism kind of thing. But it's so long-winded. Each demon, they have to have a conversation of several days. Find out the history, where did they come from, where did they go, what are they doing, and all these things. They are liars. You can't trust what they say. They cook up all kinds of stories. Jesus never did that. Jesus just took authority, command them to leave. And they cannot harm you in any way. So when you know your authority in God, but the spiritual law number one is, unless you overcome the ruling forces, you cannot free those under the ruling forces. And that is why, in order to make a spiritual impact, let's say in Canberra, we need to constantly confront the ruling spirit over Canberra. To have a spiritual impact over any city they go to, we have to be bold to spiritually come against them and not be afraid of them, but drive them out. And so when that takes place, all those under their domain will begin to fall. You can spoil the enemy, but you need to first come against the strong man. Bind the strong man first before you spoil his goods. That's a spiritual law. And that applies also to casting out demons. See, when a person is possessed by a demon or many demons, whether by seven demons or a legion of demons, there will only be one ruling demon. So you need to discern just the ruling demon. You don't need to cast every single demon out one by one. You just have to confront the main ruling demon. Let's take the example in the gospel story of Matthew. When Jesus confronted the person with a legion of demons. Now the same principle goes, that you need to bind a strong man before you can free everything under him. The story we have is Jesus crossing Gennesaret. And coming to the region of Gennesaret, it's earlier in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew has two. Let's look at the one in Mark 2, right? Mark sometimes record more details in chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. In Mark 5, it says in verse 1, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.